If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Hello, welcome to Ruined. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Allison.
This is a podcast where we ruin a horror movie just for you.
Just for all of you. Hallie, how are you doing?
I'm okay. I am. This is my last day, and I'm about to have 2 weeks off.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
I am in heaven. I'm going to repaint. This room's going to be a different color by the time we're recording it next.
Oh, wow. What color are you going to paint it?
I'm going to basically switch. So this is going to be a peach, and then I'm painting my living room like a light, like a
color
mint.
Of the year.
That's a little too yellow for me, but I support all peaches.
Yeah. Okay, that's nice.
Yeah.
And then the living room is going to be teal?
The living room's gonna be like a mint. So I feel like I made a bad choice and both of these colors are too dark. Mm. And so I want to lighten them.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. I want to paint, but it just feels like there's not really enough space in here for me to do that at this point. I should have done it before.
A little accent wall? I don't know.
I know. I've thought about it. And I have like my friend upstairs lives in it's the exact same apartment layout. And she painted under our kitchen island, which I think I am going to do actually.
Oh, yeah,
because
that's cool.
It gets all scuffed up and it's like we have gray granite countertops and it's like, oh, like a lighter, darker gray on that wall instead of white would be nice because it'll probably not be as dirty looking all the time. And she did a little alcove that we have she painted it like a lilac and it was really nice. And I was like, oh, I love that. But it just like, I don't know. It's all fun in theory until I have to actually paint something.
But then you only have to do it once. You know what I mean? It's
this
not
is
like
true.
An ongoing nightmare or anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
how are you doing otherwise?
I mean, I think we are both very sad. We're recording this in mid-December because we're getting ahead for the holidays and our break. But the comedy community in general is a bit of a disaster because Kenny DeForest, a very funny and absolutely like warm and wonderful comedian, was in a bike accident and passed away a few days ago. And it's so horrific. And he was so young. And there's just like, I hope that everybody who bikes wears a helmet and is really careful. And like, especially this time of year, it gets dark so early. It is so much harder to see what's going on. It is absolutely tragic, but it has been like really, really beautiful seeing like every comedian posting about how great Kenny was and what a like wonderful, kind, and just like warm person. He like everybody, like if you knew him for like 5 seconds, he was just like the nicest, warmest. You were one of his best friends. Like it was just like, he was so great. I know you knew him as well. And it's just, ugh, I mean, it's so sad, but he has a ton of comedy out there that you guys can go watch. And like, I implore everybody to please, like, he has a YouTube special. He's been on Late Night a bunch of times. He has a Comedy Central set. Like, he's so funny. He has great politics. Like, just everything about, like,
yeah.
A huge endorsement to go watch and support those things because those, you know, those views, you know, matter and it's still money that goes towards his family and also just, like, a brilliant mind that shouldn't be forgotten.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
it's been hard.
I'm really glad you brought him up and I'm glad that we're remembering him. And I didn't know him as well as you did, mostly because I stopped doing stand-up after a certain point. But I do remember him as so, so warm, so incredibly kind. And I'm honestly in therapy dealing with, like, my years in the comedy trenches and, like, truly a – and I'm not saying this about all comedians, obviously, but at least at the time, I think – and then now probably. It's, like, just a truly toxic, insane, patriarchal, like – it's just a really – horrible environment, I think, as a woman to work in at the time in particular, let alone anyone else. And I think, I remember, again, I didn't know Kenny, but Kenny was someone who I thought of as so incredibly genuine and nice and just approachable. And he's also good friends with two other comedians, Clark Jones and Will Miles, who is currently writing for me. He does writes jokes for Love It or Leave It.
Best.
And so they are both so funny as well. And I just think of them as like this incredibly like positive male like
I know
unit
like,
that we
totally
got to know.
Broke through all of the like absolute shit bags that we have to like suffer through at every open mic and every show and every hang and stuff like that. And it's like those guys, you were just like, Oh, thank God.
Thank God.
Thank God they're here. Thank God I get to talk to them, that I get to know them. And then also getting to watch all three of them. And obviously Kenny in particular right now has felt like, how lucky we are that we got to be in a community with them.
Yeah.
And it's also made me so grateful, like, that comedy, that there is a comedy community, and like, yes, that there are like real connections. And so much of my love goes out to that Chicago crew, because they are all so tight. But I mean, I think also I look at like this podcast and the community it creates, and how like wonderful it is that like when awful things happen, like I don't think we are alone, and it's like really nice that we have that. And now we're just
sorry,
gonna cry.
Now I'm crying.
I cried at a Target at Atlantic Terminal the other day, and it was not the first time I've cried in there.
I remember that Target. I think you actually have to start crying before they let you in.
Yeah, they're like, "Are you in the middle of trauma?" That's the only. You're the only people who are allowed to come shop here in this absolute hellhole.
Yeah.
But it is just like, you know, as we reach the end of the year and things are, you know, both like really joyful but also really hard for so many people, it has been, I don't know. I know that people are listening to this in January in the new year, but it's been such a nice, you know, I look at this podcast and I look at all of the listeners and the people who like reach out to us. And like, I mean, I can't count the number of people who have like messaged me like great info about like endo and fibroids and all that. And it's just like, wow, you're total strangers. And like, it's just so nice. And I really, you know, seeing everybody rally around Kenny's family and Kenny's close friends in this like awful moment, makes me really grateful that we have each other.
Yeah, and I think I as you say, it's like, oh right, this will come out in January. But yeah, I think we just want to, I don't know, keep a mindset of gratitude is how I think about it. Sorry, I'm gonna cry.
I know,
but yeah, it's truly, yeah, it's just, I think it's, you know, there's so many people in your life that like, it's like, again, we weren't close, but you know, the impact you could have on people. It also makes me want to be like, the importance of comedy, which also is like, oh my God, but it's true.
It's true. And like, you know, I think there's like so many times where people are like disgustingly self-promoting, but like to see every single person sharing these clips of Kenny and being like, I think about this bit all the time and it's so funny. And like, it is so nice that like he's gone, which is awful, but like that we get to like have that still, like that there is all of this like recorded, really brilliant, fun, joyful, like comedy that he made, and like that can be revisited or found for the first time by people. And you know, it's you know, nicer than just a picture, and it's just nice to have that. It does last, and it like that people are like sharing like jokes and like funny things that he did and said, and like it's not all as sad as it all is. It's also this like really great celebration of like what he was able to do.
And I think, you know, like you said that, but I think it's like a moment for all of us to sort of like, sorry, I think, you know, sort of understand sort of our own role in like all of our communities. And also I think a lot about legacy, you know, and I think working in the entertainment industry, I know I've definitely found myself being like, well, if I don't do this one particular thing, then, you know what I mean, then I wouldn't have done anything.
Right.
I think, you know, having like a creative life is a legacy in itself, you know, and to be able to make all these things. So like you said, like live on, you know, I think it's, you know, sort of a reminder that all of our work is important. Like everything that everyone does touches someone. Anyways, so the movie this week is Saw 2. So we can get into that. But yeah, thank you for bringing him up.
Yeah, and obviously this is now being, you know, released like long, like, you know, probably a month after this happened. But you know, go watch his stuff. He was a really special guy, and you know, that's, it's all, and wear a helmet when you ride your bike and be careful.
Yeah,
because it's in New York and LA in particular, it can be so dangerous.
Well, thank you. And guys, this is
we're still in sequels month.
Yep, here we are, baby. But yeah, so we are doing Saw 2 scene, if you will. And we are keeping it moving. We, of course, like to have Allison watch the trailer for every film we do. Allison, what did you think of the Saw 2 trailer?
I didn't, and Saw is, the original Saw is one of the four horror movies I've seen. And I like, I remember how it ends, but I don't remember if we, like, know, do we know who Jigsaw is at the end of the first one?
Yes, we do. Yes. So this is a great question that I myself had to remind myself. But yes, we do know.
Okay.
We know both who it is and also that he is has a terminal cancer.
Oh, right, right.
And he, don't worry, in case you didn't know that, he does explain it all again.
Honestly, thank you, Jigsaw.
Thank you, Jigsaw. And of course,
thank
his
you,
name,
Jigsaw.
Jigsaw is the serial killer aspect. And his name is John Kramer. Mm-hmm. And it is this movie, I was just such, we were supposed to record two episodes today and we're doing one because like my ADHD brain is popping off and I just can't focus long enough to do two. I will say finishing this movie, and maybe that was part of it, I was like, I will kick Jigsaw's ass myself. Like, if I have to hear this bastard explain, like, actually, if you think about it, like, it's good. I was like, I will punch you in your old face. Like, and how dare you?
Yeah, he seems to pontificate.
He stinks.
The vibe of this is kind of like escape room.
Yes, this
like,
is.
Like, it's escape house.
It is escape room after escape room, and then, but the instead of finding like a fun code to solve with your friends, you just find a gigantic pit full of hypodermic needles.
No,
so you just that guy's not like it's less fun.
I feel like I remember hearing about like when this came out. I remember like hearing about like seeing like the hypodermic needles was like mentioned, in like the cultural discussion. right. Yeah, this trailer sucks.
Yeah, big time stink. And then,
I really wanted
to
just turn into. Did you ever watch The Onion's online, the web series Sex House?
No, you've talked about it before. I should.
I just add it to your list. It is like this gave me Sex House vibes.
Okay, great. There is a certain element of that I can see. There is, however, we also had to take a baseline scary. I think a fun one we have. I don't know if we've ever had it. If we have, it's been a while. Allison, how spooky or how scary do you find the concept of poisonous gas?
Okay. That's actually been like kind of top of mind recently.
Thank God. Okay.
For me. Because I don't know. I think something's like happening to my brain where I'm like slowly like losing my grip on reality. Cause I keep like, I was like feeling kind of off. I took a COVID test and I was like, it's not that. And it wasn't the flu and it wasn't a cold, but I was like, oh, I just feel, and I like started panicking that I was like getting carbon monoxide poisoning. Like,
oh, girl, I've been there. Like, there was like, I had that panic.
And it's like, I just something like for some reason, like my paranoia went there because I was like, well, I haven't been outside. And I was like, maybe that's the problem. Go outside right. And get some fresh air and walk around, you dumbass. But I don't know why, but yeah. it's like a very scary fear.
I always remember that poor Weird Al Yankovic, his parents died of carbon monoxide poisoning. Right. And I remember them asking him, you know, like, because he went on tour pretty soon after. They're like, well, why did you go on tour so soon after your parents died? He's like, well, the alternative is staying home and crying
for
my parents dying. Like, what do you mean? Like, well, at least I'm getting out of the house.
Yeah.
And of course, horror movie wise, the most iconic carbon monoxide poisoning moment was, of course, the beginning of Midsommar. Horrific. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Do you even remember that, Allison? I see the look in your eyes.
No, you could have said anything, and I would have agreed.
Great. Well, but go ahead. If you haven't listened, please go back and listen to our Midsommar episode. And then before we begin, would you like to guess the twist in Saw 2?
Guess the twist.
At first, when I was watching the trailer, I was like, I bet the safe isn't even locked. Like, because the whole thing is like a safe. Like, they're trying to get the code to open a safe that has the antidote to the poison. But then I was like, oh, you see them like pulling on the safe. So I feel like maybe it is locked. I'm going to guess that the code. I'm going to guess that these people are all connected to each other.
That is correct. And do you want to guess how? Like, do you want to just throw out, like, how do you think they're connected? Because you're dead on.
I was going to guess that it's all different, like, but maybe they all, were born in the same hospital.
Love it. Perfect. Exact perfect horror movie guess.
Yeah. They were all born in the same hospital, and I think that the code for the safe is actually going to be, like, it's going to be, like, very obvious.
Great.
Okay, like, it's perfect. On the safe, but, like, they're missing it.
I just want to say this is directed by Darren Lynn Boozman, who also did Saw 3, Saw 4, and Spiral. He also directed the horror musical Repo the Genetic Opera, which I remember because Paris Hilton was in it.
Oh.
Do you remember that? It was
no.
It was a based on an actual opera, and it was like a sci-fi opera, and Paris Hilton had a small role in it.
Oh.
Sarah Brightman was in it, Anthony Stewart Head, Paul Sorvino. I've never seen it. I don't know why I'm listing the credits for a movie we're not doing, but it was also written by Lee Whannell, who, of course, wrote the original Saw, which was directed by James Wan. Shout out to James Wan. I was just thinking about Malignant this week. Put a smile on my face.
Oh,
baby.
Yeah.
I'll watch that over the break. I've been in a Malignant mood.
Yeah, a little secret hedge.
So I wanted to say these gentlemen did a great job. My issue with this movie is not the film itself, but rather the ethics of one Mr. Jigsaw.
Okay. Oh, so you don't agree with Jigsaw's methods.
I know this is going to come as a shock to you. I don't agree with much of his ethos. Politically, we are on very different sides of many of these things. And of course, Jigsaw is, or John Kramer, his non-serial killer name, is played by Tobin Bell. Great, chewing the lot. Like, he's giving everything. He's giving what you want to be given. As a villain, I think he's just great. And so let's begin again. When I complain through this entire summary, please know it's about the character, not the film itself.
Okay.
Hey, everybody, it's Hallie.
And Allison.
And we're here to tell you about another exciting installment of Ruined. It is, of course, our January live show. And we are doing a very special film that you've perhaps seen advertised everywhere on the planet. It is the movie Night Swim.
I'm so excited. You know me. I love a pool. So this has been, as soon as I saw the trailer, I was like, we got to do this. And we are on Sunday, January 28th, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. We're going to be doing it live.
We'll do it live.
We'll do it live. You can get your tickets and view it at moment.co/ruined. And of course, $20 Patreon tier members. You will get your tickets to the live show in your email, probably the day of. $10 as always. And it's, we'll do the games. We'll do, the chat will be up and running. We'll have merch, maybe new merch. No promises.
We simply can't. We can only promise you a gorgeous January Night Swim.
Yes.
So join us then.
And if you can't make it Sunday night, it'll be up for 72 hours at that link. Again, that's moment.co/ruined. See you there.
Allison, we open on a glowing green light bulb flickering to life.
No.
Instead of a killer POV, we're in the victim's POV.
Oh, no.
So we're waking up as the victim. Fun. We hear a man's terrified panting as he started. We see him look around, and you know what kind of room he's in. We're talking bare concrete walls, grime, pipes.
Grime.
We got an air duct, a stinky TV, like a TV that you know if you touched it would be a little
filmy,
sticky. Right, exactly. You get the idea.
Yeah.
So our victim reaches out his hand, and we see that he is sitting in a chair. And there's a dentist mirror in front of him, which is always a bad sign.
It's like also like. Stuff at the dentist is scary without being in a disgusting room.
As we've discussed. As gals with who've had a lot of work and will need a lot of work more.
Yeah.
Horrifying. And to see a dentist mirror when you're not at the dentist, even worse. And we see him sort of tilt the mirror towards himself. And we see there is an apparatus around his neck, Allison. Mm-mm. And it's tethered to the wall. Oh, you hate to see an apparatus.
No.
This man's name is Michael Marks, and he is, of course, as we know, and we could assume, he is in one of Jigsaw's darn traps.
Oh, that darn Jigsaw.
That darn Jigsaw. Michael is naked, except for his underwear and his chair, and one of his eyes is bleeding already. So he woke up with a bleeding eye.
Oh, bleeding eye. You hate to see that.
Let me now describe the apparatus to you. It is sort of a heavy metal collar attached to a mask, and sort of it looks like a face mask in front of him, full of spikes. And we see sort of a, it's sort of a Iron Maiden, but just for the skull. Mm-hmm. So the front is full of spikes and the back also has spikes. And we already see it's going to slam shut like a Venus flytrap, right?
Yeah.
Michael leaps out of his chair trying to figure out, well, okay, what is Jigsaw up for this time? And the stinky little TV turns on. And of course it's Jigsaw. It is the puppet. And he's up to his old shenanigans, Allison.
Is he on a live feed or is this like a pre-recorded message?
The implication is that it's pre-recorded.
Okay.
But also it's also the puppet talking. So it's not right. the actual man. So I'm like, I think we're supposed to think we are not exactly sure. I just always assume because we always cut to the VCR, cut to the DVD mm-hmm. player, that it's pre-recorded.
Okay.
But he tells Michael, hello, hi, I want to play a game. It's like, well, okay, that's what you do. That's what you let him do.
That's what he does.
Jigsaw lays out for us.
Society would call you an informant, a rat, a snitch. I call you unworthy of the body you possess, of the life that you've been given.
I'm going to stop you right there. That's I'm already rude. Mad. It's like, you're a dumbass. And you have no taste, okay?
Yeah.
You're going to come and tell this person, who I'm sure sucks, that he's unworthy. Look right. what you're doing
you're
with
an
your
asshole.
Life.
Yeah.
You're a piece of shit. You made a puppet to terrorize some guy. You made this mask, death mask. No. You're going to tell him that he sucks? You suck.
You suck, sir.
And he goes on, Michael, let's see if you're willing to look inward rather than outward to give up the one thing you rely on in order to go on living, his eyes. The mask around your neck is a death mask. Well, he pieced that together, Jigsaw.
Got it.
He said it's on a spring timer. If you do not find the key in time to unlock it, it will close. And boy, is this pickle a guy in a pickle now, Allison. You hate to hear it.
Seems like it.
We then, Jigsaw then flashes a video of himself, performing surgery on Michael, and he tells him, since you won't have much time, I'll give you a hint. And he flashes an image, and we see it's an x-ray, so the key is hidden behind Michael's eye.
No. No.
So that's where we start. We start with eye
so
business.
So he has to what, like rip his eye out?
He sure does, Allison. And
I mean, but like, don't your eyes kind of pop out?
Allison, that's the most un-Allison thing I've ever heard you say.
And like, I think, don't. Like, don't, like, I feel like that's a thing.
What do you mean by just? What is the word just doing in that sentence for you? What do you say just
like,
pop out?
Like, I mean, I think that, like, it happens with, like, that they can, like, come out with, like, a lot less, like, pain and blood than you would expect.
The eyeball can come out intact is what you're saying.
Yes, yes,
you don't have to go through the eye. You can maybe go around
Yeah, you
it.
Could, like, okay. you could, like, pop it out and then dig around.
Well, if only this had been you, perhaps that had been the approach you would have taken. Unfortunately, when Michael hears Jigsaw's directive, live or die, make your choice, he, of course, freaks out, starts panicking, running around, and the tether that is tethering him in the wall pulls out of the wall, starting the timer. So now it's a timed eye removal.
If he had just sat there?
Ostensibly, he could have just sat there, but then how do you get out? Right?
Right.
But regardless, now he must play the game. Personally, I'm more of a charades gal, but...
Pictionary would be mine.
Michael opens up a metal toolbox in the room and finds a scalpel. And to his credit, he's like, all right, let's do this. But I will say what I like about these movies is that it is agonizing because it is played for realism, like those
yes.
moments.
Yes.
Not like sort of the grandiose serial killer thing, but... You know, he's trying to slash his eye, and as he puts the scalpel to it and cuts himself, he screams and he has to stop. Like, it's so painful, he keeps doing it and stopping, which is what you would do. Like, the idea that you could just do it and, like, get through it, that's so unlikely.
No, you couldn't.
So he's trying to cut himself, but he's screaming, it's bleeding. Al said he can't do it in time, and as he screams, no, 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 the death mask slams shut, killing him. Saw two, baby. We're at it. We find ourselves with our main
it's
character.
Tough open.
Yeah. Excellent. That's how you open a fucking horror movie, if you ask me. Excellent work. We find ourselves with Detective Eric Matthews, played by Donnie Wahlberg, in perhaps his finest role. The only role I think I've seen Donnie Wahlberg in. Oh, no, he was great in Sixth Sense, but you only see him for a minute. He's at the police station picking up his teenage son, Daniel. There's obviously some animosity. We find out that Eric is divorced from Daniel's mother. We'll find out more about that later. And so they have what is, what eventually we're going to find out Jigsaw's invested in their father-son relationship, but it all seems kind of like normal, like angsty 17-year-old where he's just like, it took you long enough to pick me up. And then they go down the pier and Eric's like, oh great, your mother gets to keep custody and I get to go get you out of custody. Daniel was caught stealing, and he's not contrite about it. He's like, fuck you, Dad. How dare you even talk to me? You're lucky you're in my life. So, of course, they get into a huge fight, but it's like a fight that I'm sure every divorced parent has had with their child who's upset in general and is acting out, right? Mm-hmm. Daniel says, you're a better cop than a father, and I want to go home to mom's early. I don't want to stay with you. And Eric flips out. He's like, then go! It's like, okay, well, you're just proving his point.
Right.
It's like, he's provoking this reaction, but right. also then you don't have the ability to say, okay, I know you're trying to test me.
Yes.
You know, I know you want me to freak out. Unfortunately, he does. And so Daniel goes back to his mom's. The next day, Eric calls to apologize. He keeps calling. Daniel does not pick up his phone.
Oh, no.
He's like, hey, just give me a call back. I just want to get in touch with you. We don't see him call the mom, which I don't understand. Like, even if you hate each other, you'd call
her.
You
would just, yeah, it's your kid. Yeah. Like, okay. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, but I guess he finds out pretty soon. So Eric gets a call in from work, and he meets up at the warehouse where we have just seen Michael have his head crushed. He meets up with his fellow detective, Allison Carey, down at the, you know, the old abandoned factory where they're just making old abandoned factories, I guess.
Yes, of course.
Carey walks into the crime scene and says that the asbestos workers found the body, and they called Eric down because she said, I'm pretty sure it's one of your old informants. And Eric's like, well, what do you mean? Like, just take a look at him. Let me look at his face. I'll take 2 seconds. And Carey says, therein lies the problem. He doesn't have one anymore. Mm. However, when Matthew sees the body, he sees that there's a tattoo. He's like, that's him. And then he notices on the back, on Michael's back, as he's just wearing his underwear, there is a puzzle piece carved out of his skin. He looks at Carey, and Carey says, yeah, it's fucking Jigsaw again.
It's like this guy.
Right. It's like, oh, and she's like,
are
okay.
Are we to believe that, like, in between the end of the first movie and this death, have there been other Jigsaw things going on?
I think so. I think okay. We're to believe, like, that this is an active serial killer that people know about. Sort of, I suppose, in a Ted Bundy sort of way, where, like, they know that something's happening. They know he's out there, but they don't know enough information to catch him. So, this is maybe Jigsaw's next big project, mm-hmm. but I think they know that he is still out and about, and this was going to happen at some point. Like, they were going to find somebody. And so Carey says, like, do you know anyone who would want to kill him or have motivation to kill him? And he's like, well, he was a jailhouse informant, so, yeah, dozens of people. Yeah. And Carey's like, okay, but most people in prison don't have an engineering degree to make something like this. So mm-hmm. why did he pick this guy? And she says, look closer, Detective Matthews. He's kind of confused. He says, at what? And she says, whoever wrote that. And they point to the ceiling, and written on the ceiling by Jigsaw, ostensibly, says, look closer, Detective Matthews. Back at the station, they immediately start fighting. Oy.
Was it written like, just in marker, or was it like in shit or something?
It was bright red.
Okay.
So for a second, I'm like, oh, it's blood, but it just looks like paint.
Just like a marker. Okay.
Yeah. Matthews is mad at Carey for sort of setting him up. Like, why not just tell me about that is Jigsaw on the ceiling thing? And she said, look, I'm not the one taunting you. I didn't write your name up there. Don't be mad at me, you know? And Matthew says, I'm not going to be dragged into this. I have my own fucked up life. I have an insane number of case files. My son hates me, and I can't even call me back. My ex-wife is taking all my money, and we're not partners anymore. So I'm not obligated to work on your cases, right?
So again, with this.
Old partners. Exactly. And Carrie's like, well, forget bringing you into the case. It had your fucking name. What am I going to not bring you into it? Like, what are you talking about? You're already into it.
Yeah. You're in, baby.
Yeah. And he says, no, you're the Jigsaw expert. So ostensibly, Carey was working on already knows enough about Jigsaw. And Carrie's like, when did you stop being a cop? So there's a lot of cop talk that within a horror movie kind of takes me out of it, I'll be honest. Like, I want raw terror.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't want a procedural.
Yeah. That night, Matthew wakes up and sort of is having a nightmare and a revelation, and he's seeing all these different pieces put together. He is a great cop, Allison, you know.
Good
and
for
he realizes
him.
The warehouse is down at Wilson Steel. So the next day, Carey, Matthews, and a SWAT team gear up and go to the warehouse to try to, is Jigsaw, is he still there? Is his stuff mm-hmm. there? Can we find any clues? Of course, as soon as they walk in, they walk immediately into a trap.
Yeah, well.
You gotta.
That's his style.
So basically, they have to open up this sort of cage over a set of stairs to go up. As soon as they open the cage and start walking up, one of them steps through a tripwire. Mm. That brings Jigsaw, the puppet, wheeling out. It also causes the step underneath him to drop away and a metal step to slam into his shins, shattering his legs. And then when the other SWAT members sort of swarm or, like, try to respond, they touch the cage and the cage is electrified. So then all of them start getting electrocuted. This is, like, 30 seconds after getting on the scene is a bunch of SWAT team members getting electrocuted.
He is efficient.
The only one who is still standing calls, says, send in more people. So the second wave of SWAT people run in. More SWAT members, I guess. So they run in, and Allison, they have found Jigsaw's lab. Which, of course, is full of the funniest amalgamation of, like, mannequin legs, yeah. welding equipment, like a big pig fetus. He likes to dibble and dabble.
Loose teeth, I'm sure. Yeah. Like, just all kinds of shit.
He's a Jackson Pollock of murder. Allison, they rush up to a seated man. There's sort of a desk area and then a separate office that's sort of cordoned off by chain link fence, which obviously they just designed so they could use the same space, but it does look cool. They did a good job with set design. Because I buy it. This is what a serial killer's lair looks like.
Yeah.
They rush up to the
man. Like a sprawling 6-bedroom home. Like, it's this.
Right, yeah. It's an abandoned warehouse full of,
like, random shit.
Yeah, human brains. Allison, the man they find is none other than Jigsaw himself, John Kramer. So I'm going to refer to John Kramer when we were talking to him, and then where the sort of the separate area we're going to find ourselves is, I'm going to refer to as, like, Jigsaw's house or Jigsaw's lab. So when we're talking to John Kramer, I'm just going to use his human name.
Okay.
He looks like absolute shit, and that is because as we realized in the first movie, he has terminal brain cancer, which is why, Allison, if you recall the logic for the first movie, he's trying to get people to enjoy their lives. I'm already so mad. I hate this.
This ain't it. Like, this is not the path. This is not how you do that. Also, like, enjoy your life.
Well, this thing, and we find out, it's like, oh, I, you know, this is my rationale. I have to get people to join. It's like, you're dying. Call your son. Like, make a new friend. Go to the library. Read a book. Like,
go outside.
Paint a painting. But instead of this, right? And he's so self-righteous. But Matthew's, you know, runs up to John Kramer and says, am I close enough for you now? Get him out of here. But of course, this is all part of Jigsaw's plan. John Kramer says to him, well, no, I have to stay here until you solve your problem, detective. The problem in that room. Of course, Matthews, Carrie, and some of the SWAT members run over to this area, which is sort of an office, I guess his office space within this room. And
that's where all the administrative stuff work happens.
Basically, and we see it's just a fabric draped over a shape. Of course, for a moment, we're supposed to think it's a body. They pull the fabric away. It's a bunch of different monitors. Unfortunately, Allison, the monitors are focused on a house, and in one of the rooms is 8 people who are waking up out of unconsciousness, and one of them, of course, is Matthew's son, Daniel.
Oh, yeah. Well, could have seen that coming.
Exactly. So Matthew, of course, freaks out and starts screaming at John Kramer, but he tells him, look, you're not going to scream your way out of this. They have 2 hours until the nerve gas, which is being slowly released into the house, enters your son's body and kills him. And everyone in there, unless they get out within 2 hours, will have blood gushing from every orifice. He says, oh, yes, there will be blood. Name-checking the movie, I guess. Probably his favorite movie. He just wished there had been more blood.
Yeah, that's his only problem. Not enough blood.
And Matthew demands, like, so where is he? What's happening? John Kramer says, he's in a safe place. It's 7:30. Allison, they have 2 hours. They have 2 hours to find these people and get them out of this house, which is slowly filling with poison gas, right?
It's tough.
Matthews runs back over to the monitors and demands Carrie give him his phone to try Daniel's phone again. When he calls Daniel's phone, the outgoing message is Jigsaw.
Oh, come on, Jigsaw.
I was like, that's just mean.
That's unfair. Unfair.
Meanwhile, in the room, we see Daniel huddled, you know, with all the other victims as they start trying the door, trying the windows. Of course, this is a complete lockdown prison of a house. Like, Jigsaw's out of everything. But one guy, Gus, freaks out. He's like, I read this thing about a war reporter who got imprisoned, and they put him in a room, and he was there for 9 years. We don't know what whoever psycho put us here, we don't know what his plans are. We also hear a ticking outside the door.
That's not great.
Suddenly, Allison, a woman who's been laying face down on the floor, sits up gasping. She's in sort of hospital jammies and has wrist bandages. It is Amanda, who is from the first Saw movie. She is the only person to survive one of Jigsaw's games.
Was that the bear trap thing? There was something. I forgot.
So it was a reverse bear trap, essentially. It was a bear trap over her head. She was being punished because she was a drug addict, right? Which is, that's another thing is like, Jigsaw has very, regressive, reactionary views on drug use and drug addiction, what it is that I disagree with. And also I think most doctors would disagree with.
Yeah, no, we are not on Jigsaw's side of.
Right. Again, we just want to reiterate.
Yeah. We don't support him. We don't agree with his politics or his outlook on the world.
Absolutely. However, a man having done this before immediately wakes up and says, where am I? Another man, Jonas, who's in the room, says, well, it's a room. We all just woke up here. And Amanda goes, oh, no, 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 no.
Yeah, she knows.
She's no idiot.
Yeah, she sees all that disgusting stuff around and she's like,
oh, yeah.
I know where I am.
Oh, I see a little stinky broken chair. I see a little wet mirror. I know where the fuck I am.
Everything's kind of yellow.
But because she's no slouch, she immediately springs into action and she just starts looking for things. She goes to escape room because you have to. You know what I mean? Right. So she's like taking pictures over the wall. Like, you know, there's like, she runs over to the freestanding safe in the middle of the room. So, which is a feature of the room that's important to know about. A huge freestanding safe. She, of course, tries it. It's locked. Cannot open it. Eventually, she just starts pawing the walls and gets to the fireplace, which is then bricked up. She then starts pulling the bricks out of the fireplace, and behind them, a recorder. Of course, she hits play.
The
Allison.
Instrument? No.
Yes. She plays that song from Hot Peter and the Wolf.
Yeah.
No, unfortunately, it's not. It's a recording of Jigsaw telling them sort of how this is all going to work, and he says you have 2 hours to live, and after that, in 3 hours, a door will automatically open. But basically, you have to survive 2 hours. You've been breathing in nerve gas already. The only way to survive this and walk out the door is to find the antidote, which I've hidden around the house. So there are syringes full of antidote to this poison gas.
Oh, okay.
One of them is in the safe in this very room. Okay. You all.
But that's not the only one?
That's not the only one. Okay. Unfortunately, Allison, all of them are extremely difficult to get to.
Yeah.
If you can imagine. Well. And a lot of them involve, I don't know, playing weird games.
Oh, no.
He tells them, you all have the numbers to the combination with you in the back of your mind. And the clue to their order of their nomination can be found over the rainbow. Once you realize what you have in common, you'll have a better understanding of why you're here. X marks the spot for that clue. Let the game begin. They all freak out. He stinks.
I hate Jigsaw. I'll say it. Cancel me.
Please. So they all freak out, and by all I mean, we have Amanda, who played it before, Jonas, who sort of is our level-headed, trying to pull people together and work together, Daniel, Eric Matthews' son, who is a teenager and panicking, and then five others, Xavier, Addison, Abby, Gus, and Laura.
Okay.
And they don't know each other. They have no idea what their connection is. Xavier sees a note that also fell out of the fireplace, and with the note it says, do not attempt to use this key on the door to this room. Allison, he and Gus immediately run over to the door.
Yeah, I would heed the rules.
I think you gotta. And that's what Amanda's sort of the voice of reason, like, do not do it. If the note simply says don't do it, he's testing us, right?
Yes.
Don't do it.
I would listen to her every step of the way.
Right. And Xavier says, this guy's fucking with us. This is a joke, and I'm about to end it. As Xavier puts the key in the door and turns it right as Gus puts his eyes to the peephole. Of course, when Xavier turns the key, the key turns the trigger on a gun, and it shoots Gus through the back, through the eyeball, and the back of his head explodes, killing him. Allison, at this point, I got to ask you, what would you do?
What would you do?
Okay, as someone who famously hates activities, I'd be like, Amanda, you are in charge.
Yep.
We will all do what you say. Mm-hmm. I would definitely then just start looking everywhere I possibly could for the antidotes around the house.
I think that's all you can do, right?
That is all you can do. That is all you can do. Ruined is brought to you by Factor. It is so hard to plan and prepare and eat healthy meals every single night of the week, but I'm super excited about Factor. You get every meal is fresh, never frozen, and is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. I mean, this is exactly what I need. It's spring. I want to do stuff. I want to stay fueled, but I don't want to waste any time preparing or shopping or doing any of the stuff that it is to feed yourself as an adult.
Absolutely, and I feel like we've all had the experience of like getting home and being like, oh my God, I can't cook an entire meal. So for me, Factor is a great option in terms of like having food there, like having food on hand. It's also me not wasting groceries. You know what I mean? You can imagine, you see what I'm like on the pod. You can imagine what my fridge looks like. In this way, I have prepared meals ready to go. They're healthy. They are waiting for me.
And it's great because you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. So like if you're going to be eating out a lot, you can do fewer. If you're like in a kind of a vegan mode, you can do vegan. And you can pause and reschedule deliveries all to just suit your lifestyle. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/ruined50 and use the code RUINED50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code RUINED50 at factormeals.com/ruined50. 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. So it's one down, seven to go, right, Allison? So Jonas freaks out, grabs Amanda, is like, how did you know about this? What do you know? And she explains, gives us a backstory that she survived last time. And while another woman in there, Addison goes, bitch, it's obviously Jigsaw. Do you not read the news?
Yeah, I was about to ask, like, would people who live in this area know about Jigsaw?
I think the idea is that yes. But maybe you are, I think maybe when Jonas was just so flummoxed, but that he didn't think of it. But yes, the idea is that Jigsaw is a known serial killer. Everyone knows what he does. And basically, Allison's like, this guy's trying to kill us. And Amanda screams, no, he's not. He's testing us. He wants us to survive this. Oh, I'm sorry. Are you simping for Jigsaw? Jeez Louise. Like, you don't have to defend him.
Right.
Of course, she then says, you know, I've played before. That's how I know this. Meanwhile, back in John Kramer's lair, Eric Matthews is watching this feed, freaking out, right? We also have the SWAT team captain, Officer Rigg. And he's very much like, let's take John Kramer in, or let's kick his ass, or like, let's do something, right? I'm not comfortable. I'm a SWAT team guy. I want to be doing something.
Action.
Yeah. But of course, Carrie's like, no, this is what he wants. We have to figure out how to destabilize him. We can't just kick his ass. That's not going to work. He's not going to tell us where they are, right?
Right.
But in the meantime, we're calling the tech team in to trace where the feed's coming from. So even if it's something somewhere we can't get to, we'll at least be able to start from there. But the tech people have to come there to do it. So in the meantime, Matthews comes over to John Kramer and is like, okay, so obviously this is about me because you put my name on the fucking ceiling.
Right.
So what do you want? And John Kramer says, I want a little of your time alone and I want all the other officers to go. They don't have to leave the building, but they have to go stand somewhere else. And Matthew says, I will do that, but if I never see my son again, I will rip your head off. And Jigsaw, this is always his, like, trump card. Like, well, I'm dying of cancer. You literally would be putting out my misery.
It's, like, also, like, bad stuff is happening to people all over the world. Jigsaw,
yes.
You are not alone in suffering. Like, you are not special because, like, you are unfortunately ill. Like,
it's also just, like, this is not how gratitude and appreciation works.
No.
Like,
not at all.
I'm going to terrorize people so they appreciate their life.
Yeah.
It's like most people, and I would say everyone in this movie, they don't not appreciate their life for no reason. You know what I mean? Like,
Right. Life
is complicated. You're allowed to have complicated feelings about it that just some guy doesn't like how you're reacting to your life. But Officer Rigg, to his credit, was like, fuck that. Do not give him anything. We are not leaving. Don't even talk to him. We're not negotiating with him. But Carrie says, no, like, give us a minute. We'll put it together. But, you know, we have to figure this out. And Rigg's like, look, you just don't understand because you don't have a family. I have a family. I understand what Matthew's going through. Okay, we have to do something. I was like, oh, that's incredibly mean.
One of my biggest things is, like, that you can't understand anything about the world unless you have a family.
Well, it's like, well, I could certainly sympathize. And then, okay, Carrie goes over to Matthews and we find out, like, why are they not partners anymore? What was this animosity? And she says to him, you lost your son the first time because of me. It's not going to happen again.
Okay. Lost as in there was another son?
Well, see, I took that to mean that she broke up his marriage and then, like, that's why his wife has custody.
Oh, I thought it was, like, she is why his other son died, which I don't know why there would be another son.
I love that. But yeah. No, as far as we know, that's his. This is his only son, and the rift was caused by this divorce.
Copy that.
I think the problem with it is that this movie treats, like, divorce and addiction like the same as serial killing. It's like everything is, like, morally flat. So then it's kind
there's
of like.
There's just good and bad and pretty much anything that's not
perfect,
which is bad.
And also when I heard that, I'm like, okay, so Carrie is going to have to sacrifice herself. Like, we're setting up some sort of, like, high tension thing, right?
Yeah.
Allison, we see the clock. They have 90 minutes down from 2 hours. Meanwhile, back in the Jigsaw house, everyone's doing the right thing. They're tearing the place apart. We're looking all over
all
for
you
clues,
can do.
Right? And then stepping over Gus's dead body. Like, they kind of don't want to see him, like, kind of throw, like, a little jacket over him. Jonas plays the tape again to try to see, like, is there anything, any other clue? The door opens, ostensibly for all of them to go search the rest of the house, right? Xavier is immediately a huge asshole, and he's, like, a huge guy. He finds a baseball bat with nails in it and basically says, hey, just so you know, don't fuck you guys. I'm getting out of here. I'm not going to be dragged down by you. I'm surviving this. His immediate response is, my survival basically requires me to not give a fuck whether you live or die. Meanwhile, Jonas is like, we have to clearly work together. This is
right.
Exactly.
We have something in common, and we're already down a guy to help us figure that out.
Exactly. Addison finds a flashlight, so not only do they have a flashlight, people are already starting to feel the effects of the gas. We see Addison is wheezing. Laura, you know, starts to feel queasy. All of them are sort of coughing and starting to gag.
Well, I was going to guess that, like, there is actually not gas, and they end up all dying, like, and it's like, oh, if you had just waited, technically, like, you would have actually escaped, but... Now I guess that's getting debunked.
Yes. Hard debunking. There is apparently gas. And they arrive at the front door, which has a big fat, it says exit on it across double doors. And they are like, Xavier, you obviously shouldn't use the key on the fucking door like he said not to. And he, you know, he tries it. Of course, it doesn't work. He throws it on the ground. And Jonas picks up the key and puts it in his pocket. So at least we know Jonas has the key.
Okay.
Back in Jigsaw's lair, everyone clears out of the room. Where John Kramer is talking to Matthews.
Nope.
Matthews says to him, you know, okay, so you're Jigsaw, you're the serial killer. Jigsaw stops him and says, I didn't name myself Jigsaw. The press did. I carved a puzzle piece out of their skin because each of them are missing the most important thing about being alive, the survival instinct. Fuck off.
Also, like...
Fuck off.
Like, no, you can't, like...
Sorry.
No.
I didn't name myself that. I just carved Jigsaw pieces out of people.
Right.
Grow
and
up.
Then the press really ran with it. Like,
what a
Also, is he assembling, like, a giant skin puzzle somewhere?
I wish. Okay. No. It's about moral lessons. Luckily, Matthews, to his credit, just sticks to, like, bitch, tell me where my son is. Tell me where my son is. I've had this conversation with a million murderers. You think I haven't sat across from a maniac like you before?
Right.
So John Kramer starts teasing Matthews, like, 5 years ago, you were quite the police officer. Do you feel safer behind the desk? You know, what's happened in your career? And Matthew says, you know, you sure know a lot about me. So maybe we could sort of use that to find my son. And John Kramer offers him an empty cup and basically says, can you give me a glass of water? And he's obviously just going to be toying with him the entire time.
Right.
Back in the Jigsaw house, Xavier starts beating down the front door and smashes it through, only to find, of course, there's a metal door on the other side.
Yeah, of course. We're not just, like, in a house that you could leave.
Yeah. They all start yelling at each other. They're screaming. Both Addison and Xavier start coughing harder and harder. Jonas sees that Xavier has a prison tattoo and says, wait a minute, you've been to prison, I've been to prison. Has anyone else been? Addison has as well. So he's like, okay, is that the connecting thread? We've all been to prison. Are we all being punished for that? You know, is that we're all criminals? You know, but before they can get to answering that, Laura pushes on part of the wall and a door pops out. Allison, this is a lightless, windowless corridor down into the bowels of the house. And they're going, baby. They don't have any other
options.
I'd
be like, you guys go, and I'll keep looking up here.
So they go downstairs, and they find a corpse with a mask and a letter stabbed into its chest addressed to one of them, which is Abby. And they're like, what the fuck is this? And they find inside of a tape, and they use the same recorder as from the first floor. They play the message from Jigsaw to Abby. Turns out, Abby was his henchman who helped him kidnap everybody else.
Oh.
And on the recording, Jigsaw says, there are two antidotes, two syringes of antidotes in this industrial size oven. There's one for you and one to give away. And that is payment for helping me kidnap everybody is that you have a chance to survive. He tells him, you burned everyone with your cons and your lies. But remember, when you're in hell, only the devil can get you out. Laura has the memory of, like, being kidnapped from her car and realizes, oh, it was him. Mm-hmm. So, of course, everyone turns on him and was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? He's like, you don't understand. He had control of me. You don't understand. I had to do it. Addison starts coughing up blood. That's how bad the gas is.
So right? That's real.
Yeah. So everyone is coughing up blood a lot from here on out. And they say to him, hey, you're going to go get in that oven if there are syringes in there.
Is it on?
Or we'll fucking kill you. The oven is not on. Allison has to climb into an industrial oven. But he finds a syringe, and then he goes to reach and grab for the other one. And, of course, it's attached to a chain that, when you pull it, locks the oven door and turns on the burners.
Oh, my God.
And we see that there is a nozzle that has a devil painted next to it that says twist. And I think it's like if he had the wherewithal, if he wanted to survive enough, he would reach across the fire and turn it off. But he's terrified because he's trapped in an oven with fire. So he scoots to the back of the oven.
Oof.
Fortunately, the back of the oven, the door has a little window, which Daniel notes. So they start smashing it in. But basically, it's just logistically difficult. Like, the doors right. of the oven are too hot to touch. Everyone's screaming. Everyone's coughing up blood. It's just, it's an impossible situation.
Jigsaw, you're a jackass.
He's an asshole. Meanwhile, John Kramer, we cut back. John Kramer's telling Matthews, like, the human race doesn't have the will to survive. Matthews says, tell me where my fucking son is. John Kramer says, what's the cure for cancer? And Matthew says, what? I know it's not torturing and murdering people. And then Jigsaw has the fucking stones to say, I've never murdered anyone in my life. The decisions are up to them.
No, Hero, it's not.
Jigsaw is a libertarian. I could tell you that much.
Yeah, for sure.
And he says, why are you so desperate to get your son back? Bitch, kill yourself. What are you talking about?
I want Jigsaw to die.
And he says, well, what's the last thing you said to him? Of course, the last thing he said to him was a fight. But it was, like, not even that bad of a fight. Like, I'm sorry.
He's
like,
also a teenage boy. Like, that's the whole thing.
Also, he then apologized on voicemail, which is actually, parents should apologize if they fly off the handle.
Yes.
And he's like, why are we only willing to act when life is at stake? It's like, he was acting. He's trying to have a relationship with his son. Like, they did not set up the stakes in a way for this to make sense to me. I was like, he did call him. He does care.
That doesn't work for me.
So he had one fight. So, yeah. Matthew says,
you can still fix this, John. Yeah, but can we fix you?
Excuse me?
Eat shit and die.
Yeah.
He says, John Kramer says, it wasn't my cancer that started my work. It was the decision to end my life. So he gets diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. He tries to drive off a cliff. He survives. He has like a giant piece of metal out in his torso. But he says, I survived and I promised myself to spend the rest of my days testing the fabric of humanity.
You're like, that's not for you.
And he says, those who do not appreciate life do not deserve to live it. To which Matthew says, which I think is the better, larger point, my son appreciated his life. You could say this to me if I was in that room. You took my son. You should be having this conversation with him. Like, you're telling me you took my child. Like, this is not a conversation that I could even respond for him if I wanted to. What do you mean? And again, that's so sloppy. That's sloppy.
Right. It's not like he took him.
Yes, ma'am. Exactly. It's like, oh, I took your underage son to punish you for having a fight with him. But of course we find out it's larger than that. But even when we find out what it is, I'm not compelled by it. Eventually Matthew storms off, he discombobulated, and John calls, says, don't forget the rules if you want your son. Back in the house, Daniel is trying to help and talk to Laura, who is passing out, both from terror and the gas.
There's a lot kind of pressure.
And so she lets him help her. And she's like, this can't be it. We can't die here. And he says, finally makes it the thing that you said, which is, okay, Amanda's been through it. We're going to go fucking talk to Amanda.
Yes.
I'm going to work with you to survive this. This is a survivor, bitch. And he says, well, why do you think that Jigsaw picked you, you know? And she says, because I was a fucking junkie. And we see her shooting up. And I said, I'm a stupid person.
Right, because it's like,
oh, you're a heroin addict. And so now a serial killer gets to punish you because you don't appreciate life. That's not what drug addiction is.
Yeah.
It's so infuriating where it's like, but it is funny and also interesting to have a serial killer that's just dumb. Because I feel like we make a lot of serial killers where it's like,
geniuses.
Did you ever think of that? It's like, read a fucking book about addiction, asshole. Like, grow up. But she says, I passed the test, but then afterwards I kind of backslid. And we see her, she's self-harming. And she's like, and using again. And Daniel says, well, I thought you said that you got clean after your first experience. And she says, well, I got arrested for possession, though I didn't actually commit the crime. And she says, you should ask about the cop who arrested me. Meanwhile, Jonas interrupts them to say they found a door without a lock upstairs. Everyone's coughing up blood by now, right? And we see the timer. We are at 54 minutes. They try to push the door open, and Amanda says, if the door's stuck, it's a trap inside.
Right, yeah, like, don't push on it more.
But, of course, Xavier, who we've already established is out for himself, doesn't give a fuck, forces it open anyways. Guess what? There's another mechanism right inside. We hear something sort of unfurl, and we see there's a steel door in the room on the other side of the room. And unfortunately, when the tether is pulled by the unfurling, a three-minute timer starts. No. And we also see the vents start to blow harder. So now the gas is filling the room, right? And I guess in the home in general. It is a tape now for Xavier that they find in the room. And Jonas puts in the corner, plays it for Xavier. Allison, of course, he's a drug dealer.
Sure.
John Kramer, there are, like, to me, it's like, if you, they kill other serial killers.
Right, like there's people who, like, physically abuse people, who sexually abuse people, who kill animals.
Yeah.
Who destroy, like,
serial rapists. He hates drug dealers and drug users in a way that's so outsized compared to everything
else. Strange. He's obsessed.
He's not smart. So, you know, but Xavier is a piece of shit. And Sam is like, you did all these horrible things. You are uncaring, unfeeling. But if you're going to feel something now because there is a key to that door. And if you open that door, you are allowed to leave and you'll be totally fine. Can you find where it is? And they search around. Allison, they move the bed in the room. There is a pit of hypodermic needles. That's about, I would say, like 5 feet deep, filled with needles. And of course, Jigsaw says, there's a key in the room. You can find it, but it'll be like finding a needle in a haystack. You're not allowed to laugh.
No.
Okay? You can't pretend that you're doing this for highfalutin reasons and then laugh at your own horrible jokes. Even though that's what I do every time
we
record.
Well, you know what? We're allowed. Come on. Because we're not ruining people's lives and killing them.
I don't even have that many hypodermic needles. I would have to build a pit. I don't have time for that. Unfortunately, Xavier, who does deserve to die for what he's about to do, picks up Amanda, because she's a junkie, I guess, and throws her in the pit to find it. So literally throws Amanda on top of hypodermic needles, which of course he gets stabbed all over her body. She's screaming horrifically. You're stuck in her flesh, in her hands.
Oh my God.
But she starts to like as she's screaming, she does start to look through them in a panicked, like frenzied way.
Yeah.
Allison, she fucking finds it.
Wow.
And she throws
it
out of the pit. I know.
She should get to kill Jigsaw.
I completely agree.
Like,
and also it's like, yeah, like, so that to me is like, you shouldn't have to, she survived that test. It wasn't even her test.
Right.
You should get to leave right then. There should be a trap door that opens,
yes,
you get to go.
She should automatically be free, and she should also get to kill Jigsaw.
Xavier grabs the key, goes to turn in the door. Allison, they've just run out of time, and the door is locked. So Xavier takes out
Amanda.
If I were
Amanda, I'd be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd be pissed as shit.
I'd be taking the flashlight. They do find a knife at one point. We saw the baseball bat with nails in it. I'd be taking whatever weapon we had, going nuts on this guy. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Unfortunately, she said, lying on the ground while Daniel helps pull the needles out of her body, which is rank and disgusting. Oof. Xavier comes to like attack Amanda and blame her. It was like, you basically didn't do it in enough time. It's like, what are you talking about?
I didn't see anybody else jumping into the needle pit.
Yeah. Both Jonas has said it earlier, and now Addison is saying, like, we have to work it together. We had to figure out the common thread. We have to work together. That's obviously the point of this, right? Laura then steps forward and says, I also was in jail, but she doesn't say what for. She's like, it doesn't matter. I was in jail. And Daniel says, I've never been to jail, but, you know, but he does not say who his father is. He doesn't say he was just brought in. And you just got to give everyone all the information.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you might think, like, well, I haven't been to jail. It's like, okay, but come on.
My dad is a
cop.
Arrested.
Yeah.
Like, that's relevant.
Allison, they have 30 minutes to go. We see Matthew's talking to Carrie and Rig. And Carrie's plan is, look, Jigsaw clearly cares about his legacy, so let's threaten that. This place is full of his blueprints, his plans, his dreams. I want you to go and start destroying them, basically like ripping up his blueprints in front of him.
Yeah.
So Matthews comes over and starts ripping up all of his plans, which is very funny because they're like hand-drawn, like insane little like devices. Just like something you doodle. It's like an inventor. What if I had like an app or what? My apparatus journal, you know, instead of a dream journal. And of course, John Kramer says, go ahead. It's not going to save your son. Why don't you just kill me already? And Matthew says, of course, I'm not going to do that. He says, are you sure you're not that kind of person? You're sure you're not the kind of person who would, I don't know, shoot an unarmed witness, fabricate evidence, betray his wife, and, well, whose son hates him? You sure you aren't that kind of person?
Yeah, why is the son part of it if those are things that, like...
Ours are not to reason like why.
Methods.
Listen, there's method to his madness, but there's also madness to his method. You know, that's the
Absolutely.
Exchange.
That's true.
Finally, the tech team arrives, and just as they do, John Kramer says, there's a file in the desk over there. Go ahead and take a look at it. And of course, Detective Carey goes over and opens it, and John Kramer says, there's a file on everyone who is in that room except for your son. They are all your arrests, Matthews. And you planted evidence in every single case.
Oh, my God. Just kill him. What are we doing with these other people?
She says, you may not remember them, but I bet they'll remember you. Your son is playing a game with a bunch of people who fucking hate your guts. And, boy, it would be a shame if they discovered who he was. Allison, who will survive already?
Oh.
Who will survive?
Detective Eric Matthews and his son, Daniel.
I think that Matthews will end up dying, but his son will survive.
Okay, great.
And I think his partner,
Carrie,
she will die.
Okay, great.
And who's left in the house?
We've got most people. So we've got, I'm just going to list them out. We got Jonas, Xavier, Addison, Laura, and we already said Daniel. Because Obi is dead.
Is Amanda dead?
Amanda is still alive. So we also have Amanda.
I think Amanda's going to survive. I think Xavier's going to die. And I think the person who we, like, don't know what they were arrested for will die.
Okay, great.
Or we'll survive. I'm sorry. We'll survive.
Okay, great.
But the others, I think, maybe...
Stands to reason. Won't. Stands to reason. It's a third act. We're going to need to see a body count.
We need some bodies.
Bouncing. Everyone... is, of course, gagging on the gas. They're gagging on the gas wherever they go. As more and more pours out of the air ducts, Xavier goes back to the first room with the safe and, of course, tries to open it again. He is simply too weak to really start to... And we see the effect of everyone's kind of staggering in, you know. Mm-hmm. Allison, he goes to look at Gus's body, and he's sort of going to throw a jacket over so he doesn't have to look at Gus, who, again, had his brains blown out. Allison... On the back of Gus's neck, he sees a number. He realizes, as Jigsaw said, the numbers are in the back of your mind. Literally, so painfully literal. Okay.
Yeah, he's not as creative as he thinks he is.
And the combination, well, you can find it over the rainbow. And what we realize is that everyone has a number in a different color on the back of their neck. Oh, a little bit of a stretch, a little sweaty, if you ask me.
Yeah, that's a little sweaty.
But Jonas stumbles in. He's also vomiting and says, what are you doing? And Xavier replies, which I did think was like an interesting character. He's like the only interesting character to me where he goes, I haven't decided yet. I wanted him to be more conniving and less maniacal, less like completely insane, like at an 11 from the beginning.
Yeah. Agreed.
Of course, Jonas says again, we can work together on this. But Xavier says, no, I found what I was looking for. Jonas tries to argue. He's like, I used to be like you. It landed me in prison. Everyone was my enemy. The thing is, I have to survive this because I have actual enemies outside these walls. And if I'm not there, they're going to go after my family. I have to get out of here. And Xavier says, oh, I don't know what that's like. I don't have a family. I just have me. But I like it. So turn around. And we see Xavier grab the knife. And he's going to cut up Jonas, cut the number off his neck.
Why?
Xavier goes to...
You don't need the skin.
15. There's no reason for Marin out for any of this to happen, which is so crazy. It's like, it's just because he's supposed to be such a bad dude. Because they could all take turns looking at each other's number and then place it ostensibly in the order of the rainbow. Roy G. Biv.
Right. Right. You just look. Like, you don't need...
I know. But I guess this proves Jigsaw's point that some people are just evil. And that's a very sophisticated way to look at the world, I think. Very insightful and helpful way. Some people are good and some people are bad. I think that's actually helpful.
And it's very clear who is who.
Absolutely. And it's good to see how that very clear thing has played out over the course of human history. I think we could all agree on that.
Absolutely. It's always been so black and white and no one's ever
punished
wrongly.
Xavier just attacks Jonas and then he and Jonas starts brawling. And Xavier falls face first into the corner of the safe, which was to me the most like painful looking moment in the movie.
Well, that's also like... You can trip at home and hit your coffee table like that. Yeah. And it like that's a real experience.
Unfortunately for Jonas, Xavier grabs the baseball bat we saw earlier with the nails in it and smashes it into the back of Jonas's head, which I thought was the most insane thing to do. It's like, what if you smash the number? Hit him in the front of the head if you're going to hit him. But luckily, he smashes him. And he sees he has a 16 in the back of his head. And from Gus, that's 16 and 2. Now Xavier's going to go find the number on everyone's neck. And unfortunately, he has very bad ideas about how to go about doing it, basically.
Again, just work together and figure it out.
Yes. Unfortunately, there are four other people who don't know this is going on. We have Addison, Laura. Laura is the worst for wear. She looks horrible. She can barely stand. Daniel's helping her walk down the hallway. And Amanda. We see Laura eventually collapses. She's starting to seize. But when she hits the ground, she looks up and she says something from the initial recording, X marks the spot. And they all look, and it's a picture frame on the wall, but there's a broken glass X. So, not an X you would necessarily notice every time, but she's right, it's an X. Addison grabs it, and behind the photo is a picture of Daniel with his father. Detective Eric Matthews, who everyone else immediately recognizes as the dirty cop who had them convicted. Now, all of them, had crimes, in their past, but specifically, and there are cops like this historically, this is not, you know, say we will, but cops, whatever. This happens all the time, where he is oh, these people are bad, so instead of, doing detective work, I'm just going to lie and send them.
I'm just going to lie, based on how so I that think they can get punished, and I can check this off my list, and
Addison then says, I can't trust any of you, so now I'm splitting off. So we're down to Laura, Amanda, and Daniel working together.
Okay.
Allison, Laura seizes and dies because of the gas. We never find out what she went to prison for. We don't know why she was more susceptible, but she is dead, leaving us with Amanda and Daniel. Who, again, if you're good, if you're Daniel, Amanda's the one you want to be with.
100%.
And Amanda says, wow, at least we know what we have in common. And Daniel's like, I didn't know. And I think it's fundamentally, he didn't do these things. This isn't Eric Matthews himself is there.
Right.
He's like, I didn't know any of this.
Right. He's a kid, when most of these people were having evidence planted on, he was a baby.
Exactly. That's a great point. He was a literal child. There's no way that
a baby.
Know.
Or maybe not even born yet for some of them.
Unfortunately, they hear Xavier, who has knife in hand, calling for them, saying, hey, guys, I found a way out. You should come down here and find it with me. But of course, luckily, he's so insane and has been so insane that they know, okay, well, he's up to something. He's not going to just suddenly offer. He would have already left if there was an exit.
Right.
So basically, they're all sort of creeping around the house, right? And we see Amanda separates from Daniel after this reveal. So Amanda goes into the original safe room. She sees the number on the back of Jonas's neck, and she realizes what's going on. So then she goes back to find Daniel, saying okay, so there is a code. We could actually figure this out. So we can get out of here. Meanwhile, unfortunately, while he's wandering the house, Xavier finds the photo of Eric and Daniel. And in case we didn't get it, Allison, on the back of the photo are the words, father and son.
It's like, got it.
Oh!
Oh!
Meanwhile, Matthews is watching all of this on the feed, and sees that Xavier is now starting to murder people. So aside from even the traps, one of them has gone so completely off the rails that he is now just killing everybody. Mm-hmm. Matthews goes over to John Kramer and says, I want to go to this place now. I want you to take me. I need to know what the fuck's going on. And John Kramer says to him, I want to go now and tell you that your son is pissing blood right now. Matthews grabs John Kramer's finger and just snaps it in half. I was like, finally.
finally.
And then just starts kicking his old ass, just fucking throwing him around the room. You know, he's coughing up blood, bleeding from his face. And Jigsaw basically is like, yeah, that's the spirit. I knew I could get you to feel alive. And it's like, but you're terrorizing him, and he's afraid his son's going to die. Like, it's not a fair exchange.
Yeah, that's not anything.
Like, we get in arguments with people we love all the time because that's what being human is. It doesn't mean there's not love there. And again, he did apologize on the voice message, which I'm like, he's doing what he can, you know? I mean, he's a dirty cop, and he should absolutely be fired for that. And I suppose if he was being punished, I think that's a slightly different conversation. But his kid didn't do anything, right?
Right.
However, back at the house, Addison is completely gassed. She's delusionally gassed, right? So she's just kind of wandering around. She wanders into a new room we haven't been in before and makes a rookie mistake because of all the gas. There is suspended from the ceiling a glass box with a syringe full of antidote inside. She reaches up and, of course, basically passes her hand through a mechanism. You got to have a mechanism.
There's so many mechanisms and apparatus.
100%. I know. It's like, this guy, if this guy were to say, call a cousin, befriend somebody down at the community center, like,
take a swimming class.
Get a dog. I don't know. Truly anything would be a better legacy than this. And when she tries to pull her arm out, the mechanism closes. So essentially there's like a blade edge cutting her hand. So she cannot pull her hand back down. And she's trying frantically to grab this syringe. Allison, not only does she pull the top of the syringe off, spilling the antidote. After that, she then puts her other hand in the other part. So now she's trapped by both hands. I have to assume it's the gas, because, girl, you did this to yourself at this point. Clearly. That's on you.
Yeah, that's on you.
However, Xavier comes in behind her, and there's an intimation like he's going to rape her or do something horrible. But instead, he just looks at her number on the back of her neck and puts her hair back and leaves her there to die. He's like, I'll leave you here. You seem to be taken care of. And so Addison is left to just scream and scream. Meanwhile, Daniel and Amanda make it back to the safe room, the initial room. He finally sees Jonas is dead. He understands that Xavier's killing people. They're able to close the door before Xavier can get there. But Xavier he's pounding on the door. He's about to break the door closed. And there's nowhere for them to go. You know, like, there's no other exit, as far as they know. Meanwhile, back at Jigsaw's lair, Eric Matthews pulls a gun on John Kramer and presses it to his throat and says, take me to my son. And John Kramer, sort of under his voice, says, I'll take you, but only you. And so Eric Matthews made, I think, at a certain, like, probably what you just have decided to do, which is he grabs John Kramer up and he fucking makes a run for it. And he runs out. Everyone's just so shocked that he's just basically hauling ass with Jigsaw out of the building. He's able to get to his cruiser and he's able to start hauling ass with John Kramer in the car before the SWAT comes after him, right?
Okay.
The SWAT team goes to follow John and Eric Matthews. However, the SWAT team is using the location that the tech team just pulled. So they lose sight of them. So instead of chasing the car, which has already gone, they're like, don't worry, we'll follow them. We have the location the tech team has for the streaming feed.
Okay.
And that's important just because, as we'll see, they are going to end up being two different places. You know what's going to happen. Meanwhile, Amanda and Daniel trying desperately to get out of this room. Amanda notices that Jonas's blood is pooling against a straight edge and realizes there's a trap door in the floor. Unfortunately, the trap door is basically underneath the safe. So she needs Daniel to come leave the front door, which is bending as Xavier is slamming into it, and move the safe with her. Fortunately, they're able to do it, and they're able to open it like a trap door into the floor. So they drop down, and now they are just running through the bowels of the house, trying desperately to find another door. Outside, Eric Matthews and John Kramer screech to a stop, and Matthews goes to leap out of his cruiser to go rescue his son, and John Kramer, who has an IV, lifts the tape on his IV going into his hand. He says, you'll need this key. You'll need it when you get inside. And Matthews just rips it off, and John Kramer groans. It's like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah, I don't care if that's uncomfortable.
Also, you hid a key under your IV. Whoa. You know, like, who are you impressing? Who is this for?
Right, who's that for?
Who's that for, Jigsaw? Matthews, fortunately, he opens the back door. He runs in right as Xavier breaks into the safe room and then sees, great, I got to follow them down into this trap door. So Eric, Xavier, Amanda, and Daniel are all in the same building, right? And we see Amanda and Daniel walking through apparently very stinky hallways. It's filling with gas. As Xavier runs down the steps, everything's dark. Everything is inscrutable. Mm-hmm. Matthews is running, is yelling for his son, begging him to come out. He's also gagging, choking on the gas. And he finds the photo of him and his son on the ground and realizes, okay, so everyone here knows that I am the cop who put them away and ruined their lives. Allison, we see the SWAT team pull up in front of a building. They leap from their van, and simultaneously as Matthews sort of pulls his gun and makes his way through the darkened house, the SWAT team breaks down the door, and Allison, Amanda, and Daniel walk through a door in the basement, and when they do, they find themselves in the bathroom from the original Saw.
Of course.
And that includes the corpses of the two people who were left there. Now, you recall there's two people. And
God, how long was that? Like, how long ago was that?
Well, it wasn't yesterday, I'll say that much.
Oy.
I would say they look fully mummified, so at least months, if not longer. They look real bad, but they are for at least the time Amanda and Daniel can hide there in some level of safety. Meanwhile, Matthews has gotten to the safe room, finds Gus's and Jonas's bodies, and is panicking now. He's like, okay, so there's, so my son could be dead right now. He runs down the basement following all of them. Xavier finds Amanda and Daniel in the Saw bathroom. And Daniel's kind of slumped over, and she tells him he's gone. He's dead. It's just me. You don't have to do this. And he says, I don't care. I just need his number and yours. And Amanda points out, okay, but if you kill us, which I think is the best point that anyone's made on this movie, how will you be able to read your own number? Because there are no mirrors in here or reflective surfaces.
Yes.
Allison, this motherfucker's so crazy. He reaches up and he just starts cutting the skin off his own neck in the same place that everyone's number is. He cuts it off and he puts it in his pocket. At that point, I'm like, you know, like...
Yeah, there's no reasoning.
Jigsaw was wrong to do that. Like, it's like, that guy was too stupid to learn. Like you think that somehow the person's going to learn. It's like, that guy was never going to learn from this.
Yeah, he wasn't going to take this and be like, wow, I have to make some change. Like,
yeah. Just then, as Xavier advances on Amanda to cut off her own number, Daniel leaps up, still alive, and slits Xavier's throat as Amanda screams and screams. Allison, back at Jigsaw's lair, back at John Kramer's lair, Carrie is watching the feed. She can't see the SWAT team. The SWAT team finds monitors, which are playing the stream, sort of in a Thanksgiving-esque way. Something is being streamed from that location.
Okay.
We see Rig reach out and press pause on what I think is a DVD player. It could also be a VHS player. Allison, they're not simply at the wrong house. It's the wrong time. Everything we've been watching already happened. It's all a recording.
Yeah. I was going to guess that, it's too late.
It's too late. This is all, they've not been watching in real time. This has already happened.
Yeah.
Of course, Matthews doesn't know this because he still thinks they're there in real time. He gets to the bathroom to see there's a figure in the bathtub and he sees like a little white hand hanging out and of course assumes it's his son. So he goes to it horrified. The person leaps up in a pig mask and stabs Matthews with a syringe. Meanwhile, Carrie turns around because in John Kramer's lair, a second safe, identical to the first safe, swings open inside and had been there the entire time.
Oh, no.
Is Daniel Matthews alive, though obviously extremely traumatized, bound up with an oxygen tank. And he looks at them and he starts screaming and crying. I hate to say this, but Jigsaw did say that your son's in a safe place. Mm. And that's almost an unforgivable pun.
Yeah, that's too like, that's really.
Or is that one so bad that actually I'm kind of back on board? Like, it's like, oh, if we're doing full on Looney Tunes puns, then I'm back on board. This is the first one I'm like, that's so stupid. I'm back on board.
Interesting. It's interesting. Yes.
However, unfortunately, back in Jigsaw's house in the Saw bathroom, Eric Matthews awakens in the dark. He's illuminated by his flashlight dropped on the ground. And next to him, Allison, is a recorder. And he presses play. Only this time, it's not Jigsaw's voice. It's Amanda. She says, after he saved my life,
I found myself a father, a leader, a teacher.
No.
She says, what is the cure for cancer, Eric? The cure for cancer is the same as the cure for death itself. The answer is immortality. It's creating a legacy. So what we find out is that Amanda credits Jigsaw with saving her life and teaching her truly the meaning of being alive. So that she has become essentially his minion and worships him as a cult leader. She is the one who abducted Daniel. And she has been helping Jigsaw this entire time. And we flash back to all these moments, including when John Kramer says, you'll find your son in a safe place. I'm like, okay, that's kind of funny. That's kind of funny. Yeah. But she basically says, I am the one who will carry on John Kramer's legacy after he dies. And I will do it in honor of him. Because to me, the way he explains it, like, his morality makes sense to me. And you are my first test subject. Because when you framed me, you locked me away. You ruined my life after I had struggled to make a life for myself. You locked me away. Mm-hmm. And now here you are locked away. And we'll see what happens. And he looks up to see Amanda closing the door and telling him, game over. Which is, again, you didn't have to say that. Just have her shut it.
I mean, you're really undoing the powerful stuff that might have been in that speech.
And outside we see in the passenger seat of Eric Matthews' cruiser that John Kramer has finally died. And then the credits start and they play Forget to Remember by Mudvayne. I'm like, hell yeah. Remember Mudvayne?
Rock.
The end, Allison. Here's what makes no sense about that argument at the end. In my mind, it's like, okay, like, you know that this dirty cop did a bad thing. But couldn't you make the same argument like, oh, by putting him in prison, that actually taught me a lesson? Like, then you've rationalized everything, but you're mad at him for also a bad thing? Like, by that logic, every bad thing that ever happens to you is actually good because it makes you appreciate life and more. You know what I mean? Like,
right, yeah. You don't get to pick and choose which events in your life and people in your life, like, fall into which buckets. Like, either that's your philosophy or it's not.
Also, isn't Jigsaw essentially just the incarceration? Like, he punished you for being a drug addict, and now you got arrested for possession. Aren't they doing the exact same thing where they're punishing you for something that is a medical and sociological and psychological problem? So it's like, what is the difference between Jigsaw and prison? Aren't they the same thing?
Yeah, I don't get it.
I do think that the safe joke does redeem this movie for me. And I'm saying I like this movie. I just don't like the Jigsaw himself. I'm like, girl.
The organizing principle of Jigsaw isn't working.
It's exhausting. Well, you just need to have, like, you could have this kind of, like, hubris, but you need to have a little comeuppance. You need to have the moment where he's wrong, where somebody does do the good thing, where Daniel saves somebody. Like, to set this up the entire time and then not subvert it is, as a film, unsatisfying. That being said, did I have a fun time watching this? Yes. But it is just funny where you just, like, get to the end of it. It's like, well, but give me some, I want nuance. Give me a serial killer with nuance. But that's because there's been so many serial killer things since then. Or maybe we're kind of used to the idea of, like, a more nuanced serial killer where this guy's just out to fucking have fun and build apparati, you know?
Right. There was no promise that Amanda would survive this, though.
No. I guess we're to think that because she is his acolyte, that is his understanding as well, that he was going to. But she didn't know, like, Xavier could have killed her.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Absolutely. Like, Xavier could have,
Could have killed her right out the gate, and she'd have no reason to. But I guess she'd be okay with that on some level. Like, it would be fine in her mind to give her life for the new philosophy. You know what I mean? Long live the philosophy of Jigsaw, I suppose. And I haven't seen the rest other than Spiral, but this certainly won't be the end of followers and lessons gleaned from John Kramer's legacy. So Allison, what are some fatal mistakes you think people may have made in the movie Saw 2?
Mistakes.
Don't be a dirty cop. That's number one.
Don't be a dirty cop. Don't be a dirty cop. Don't be that surprised. Like, you see And I guess where I think he's just such a dirty cop, he doesn't recognize anyone of the other seven people besides his son. I don't know. You wouldn't, maybe, I guess we think like he's such a dirtbag. But then he gets like, then give me a moment of seeing his dirtbagness.
Yeah, right. Yes. I would have appreciated a little bit more of that because, like, instead, the whole time I'm just like kind of feeling bad for him until we learn that.
Like, yeah, exactly. And like, let the mask drop. Give us that moment of like, I am a piece of shit. Like, give us a little more. It's just a character development thing. Again, I still thought it was fun, but you know, like it's just those little moments would have taken this to the next level for me.
Yeah.
But again, whatever. Like this is Saw. It's an iconic film series. You know what you're getting out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that is not necessarily a philosophy that we're all going to agree with. You know what I mean?
No.
I would say other than that,
I mean, everybody in the, like, was trying in the house.
Except for Xavier. And again, Xavier, should have given, like, give me a sob story. Explain to me why he's so broken.
Why
give
is
me
he a
moment.
Maniac?
Like, that something so horrible happened to him that he was, like a villain monologue, or sort of like, you don't understand,
something.
Like, this thing happened to me and now I can never trust anyone. And then
right.
It's sort of like how every Stephen King movie has that character, you know? Mm-hmm. It has that someone who is on the edge, like they're, and then this horrible experience brings out something in them. You know, if he starts in at 11, where's there to go?
Yeah.
You know?
Right. We need to develop it more.
I don't mean to criticize this film, which I actually really enjoyed, but I don't know. It's like almost you could feel it pressing up against the limits of what it was a little bit in a way that I thought was interesting. And Jigsaw, what, just a silly guy. Silly, this isn't going to work. This is the worst way to get people get people to appreciate life. Be nice to them.
Be nice to
give them.
Give
them help. Treat them. If you, imagine if a man has drug addiction, pay for her to go to rehab. Be an actual father figure.
Treat the disease.
Help her. You know what I mean? Like, they just like, I'm going to teach you. It's like, yes, you could have actually taught her, helped her.
Yes.
Get her driver's license back. Help her write a resume. Like, you could have genuinely just helped someone with a drug addiction rather than, I will torture you. It's like, no, grow up. You just want to build the, it's like, I want to do this, so I'm going to explain backwards why I'm allowed to do this.
Yes, exactly.
It's kind of like when serial killers are sort of like angel of deaths, like sort of, you know, they kill patients like to put them on their misery. It's like, no, that's obviously not what it is, because then every nurse would do that. Like, it's obviously you have this compulsion and you have to rationalize to yourself why you're allowed to fulfill it.
Yes.
Other than that, other than Xavier, everyone was trying. Jonas was trying, you know, like everyone really gave it a go.
Yeah.
And again, I just don't think that they were deserved any of that stuff that happened to them.
No.
But by the grace of God, we all could be drug addicts. And I just feel like, well, you're already dealing with that. And then suddenly you wake up and you got a bear trap on your head.
That's not fair. That's not fair.
Come on. And then finally, where would you place Saw 2 on the spooky scale, Allison?
A spooky scale.
It was gross.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a good scary twist at the
right?
end.
It's,
like having it be her and that he died and that like they're in the wrong place. And this has all been, it's all like, I'm going to say a 6.
Okay, 6. Great.
6. Yeah. What about you?
You know, I agree. Very satisfying twist. And I thought everyone was good in it. Like, everyone's giving everything they can to these characters. I've said it before. If there is, like, a police procedural element to things, I don't find it as scary, you know? Because then it's more of a thriller. And I still enjoyed that. But I'm going to give it a 3. Just really. Yeah. Inventive traps, I'll give him that. Gorgeous gowns. I enjoyed it. I mean, Saw the original. I think that's really, you know, I don't think it's just James Wan, but James Wan really set the pace. But this was definitely watchable and certainly better than some other sequels we'll have coming down the pipe towards you. We just also want to say we got a very fun request that we wanted to indulge from someone who is in love, and that person wanted us to do something special because they're asking their partner to be their partner, and so we wanted to say, Kay, P would love for you to be their partner, and as a devoted listener, what better way to hear about it than from us?
Yes, let us meddle in your personal life, I hope you both are very happy, and thank you for including us in your love journey.
I love this shit. Congratulations. I love love. And also in general, if anyone wants us to any engagements, weddings, no breakups. You know,
breakups.
That's for
only
you.
Positive
that's,
stuff only.
Yes. But thank you so much for asking us to do this. We think it was super sweet. And we hope you have a wonderful time.
Yeah.
But yeah, Allison, thank you so much for listening to another horror movie. It truly is the highlight of my week.
I can't believe I keep putting myself through this.
I know. And it's only because you're only able to because then you immediately forget everything. And I think that's noble.
It's true. That's goldfish noble. Brain is saving my ability to keep moving with my life. Yeah,
you couldn't even
and
remember.
Not have this ruin it.
Couldn't even remember the name for life. That's how much you've cleared out. Alrighty.
Well, thank you all for joining us and more sequels coming at you this month. And I guess all we have to do is ask you to please
keep it spooky.
Please keep it spooky.
Don't forget to follow us at Ruin Podcast and Crooked Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok for show updates. And if you're just as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a review. Ruined is a Radio Point and Crooked Media production. We're your writers and hosts, Hallie Kiefer and Allison Leiby. The show is executive produced by Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, and Houston Snyder, and recorded and edited by Kat Iosa. From Crooked Media, our executive producer is Kendra James, with production and promotional support from Ari Schwartz, Kyle Sieglin, Julia Beach, Caroline Dunphy, and Awa Okalati. If you like drag, shade, and getting all the answers, you've got to check out the hilarious podcast, Give It To Me Straight. Host Maddie Morphosis, star of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 14, sits down with your favorite drag, music, and internet superstars for in-depth, personal, and always shady interviews. I have listened to this podcast, and it is genuinely great, and it's nice to see a great interviewer. I feel like you don't get that in every interview podcast, and this one, at least from my perspective, Maddie Morphosis is doing more than the most, is doing an excellent job.
Oh, I love that so much. So you can learn about the humble beginnings, highs and lows, and most embarrassing moments of your favorite drag superstars straight from the source. Listen to Give It To Me Straight now on your favorite podcast app. Catch up on previous interviews with stars like Alaska, Willow Pill, Denali, Lady Camden, and Mistress Isabel Brooks, and tune in for new episodes every other Thursday. Give It To Me Straight is a Maddie Morphosis and Moguls of Media production.